Welcome to the Medical Intuitive Miracle Show with Kimberly Meredith. Get ready for a live hour of powerful healing miracles. She's a world-renowned medical intuitive, trans-channel, psychic surgeon, and spiritual teacher. Relax and breathe in. You are now entering the fifth dimension. When calling, please do not mention any personal medical details or conditions. Kimberly will use her medical mediumship abilities to remotely detect your medical situation and connect you to your loved ones on the other side. Please call in at 888-627-6008 and be a part of the show.
Welcome, everybody, to our Tuesday night Medical Intuitive Miracle Show. I'm your host, Kimberly Meredith. Let's take a deep breath. Inhale and exhale. And let's all say we are in the fifth dimension, the magical fifth dimension. For 1 hour, we get to be in the fifth dimension together, a beautiful space to be in, where we love being in the magical fifth dimensional frequency of love and peace, where all is pure and existence is non-judgmental. And awareness is beyond all time and space and place, where we can all be in this fifth dimensional energy and frequency, where humans can do all and be all and thereby find miraculous healing. And love of the omnipresent is centered on all civilization to have one underlying focus of peace and service. Where love is simple and easy, and the fifth dimension can move our world forward. In a gigantic, organic, global field, where healing is easy and fast. Let's take a deep breath. Inhale. From your inner core of your being, and exhale. Inhale. And exhale. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Because we are dimensional beings. We are multidimensional energy beings. Our minds want to live in this existence where the omnipresent exists, where we feel gentle and safe and pure and respectful of others. Where we flow with the spirit, where we are guided to be strong, building daily intimacy with the divine, with God. Therefore, we can be healed in this beautiful dimension. In this beautiful fifth dimension, where we have peace, we have love, where we have forgiveness, where we can have miracles, where miracles are easy, where we can accept the awakening of the fifth dimension. Welcome, 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 everybody. So happy for you all to be here with us today. And we have such an amazing special person with us today, a soul, a very special soul, a person with such a divine heart, and a friend of mine on top of that. His name is Tim Shields. He is a writer, an editor, and a literary collaborator working at the intersection of science and consciousness and human potential. Best known for his collaborations with Dr. Joe Dispenza and Dr. Zach Bush, Tim Shields, an artist, a visionary, a global change maker, he has transformative ideas. His debut novel, A Curious Year in the Great Vivarium Experiment, is amazing. I have read it. Everyone needs to read it. Blends magically. It is a memoir and a spiritual awakening. We all need to definitely read that book. And he has a new book that is coming out, and he's going to talk to you all about that. It's called Dream Tethering, 13 Keys to Creating the Life of Your Dreams. Wow. It's a groundbreaking guide to unlocking your highest potential, blending the hero's journey as the evolution of consciousness with a practical path to transformation. Tim also hosts his own podcast, The Exciting Incident, a podcast that drops. Inciting Incident, a podcast that dives into defining moments behind today's most inspiring visionaries. And he's going to really go deep into explaining about his podcast, too, and all the great, great, great guests that he has on there. So let's welcome Tim Shields to the show. Welcome,
Tim. Thank
you. Thank you for being here on
that generous intro.
Yeah, thank you for being here on the Medical Intuitive Miracle Show tonight. And you have done a lot of great work for people, and I say you're definitely like a, I wouldn't say, when you say collaborator, I say you're like a pure channel.
Well, thank you. I definitely have my moments, I'll say that. I would say this whole new book kind of came through while I was just walking in this desert canyon. Over the course of 2 or 3 years. And I definitely don't think I could have come up with these ideas on my own. They just sort of came through as I was walking around up there in nature.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Because when I was reading your beautiful bio, and I said literary collaborator, I can't say the word right now, collaborator.
Collaborator.
They kept saying, they don't want me to say that. They want me to say channel. And why don't we go back a little bit? About how did you start becoming a authentic writer, and how did you get into consciousness writing about consciousness?
A couple things happened when I was 17. I idolized my sister's boyfriend, who was about 10 years older than me. Actually, I met him when I was about 10, and he was an aspiring writer, and he was always like, "You should keep a journal." So. My inciting incident was being at a Grateful Dead concert, and taking a big dose of mushrooms and not really knowing what I was doing. And, I just had this sort of experience where, you know, I didn't have the language then, but I would say that I experienced unity consciousness. I knew that whatever this thing was that we called life was so much bigger and grander and expansive than what we think we hold in our tiny little bodies. And I mean, I guess another way you could say it is I sort of pierced the veil, and I had this very profound experience. And I just was I said, whatever this is, I want to study it and write about it for the rest of my life. And, you know, whether it was nature or nurture, I don't know. Maybe it was some past life thing that, you know, I was a scribe in another life or something, but I just wanted to express this mystery as best I could. And I wanted to understand what this thing we call life is. And the ironic part is I was a philosophy and writing major, and I was totally anti-science, but I wanted to understand how the universe worked. And then, of course, I wind up working with these scientists who explain at a deeper level, at the level of consciousness or biology or DNA, that how the mystery works. So, you know, my new book, Dream Tethering, is sort of, it's sort of the deconstruction and reconstruction of what I've learned, through working with these people and distilled into my own, you know, worldview and life experience. So it's kind of a bridge between science and storytelling.
The new book coming out, 13.
The new book, yeah. Yeah, Dream Tethering.
Right, Dream Tethering. That's super exciting. And do you want to tell us about a little bit more about Dream Tethering?
Well, it's sort of the process that I've, you know, always done, or maybe I haven't always done it, but I've evolved it over the years. So it's like, you know, I said in the first book, the dream of the 17-year-old self was like shooting a grappling hook out into the future. And if you're strong enough, focused enough, and determined enough, and you stay on that line, you're going to get to that up the mountain. You're going to get to that goal. But but the external environment is always going to try and knock you off that line. But the external environment is actually a mirror to your internal environment. So basically, you know, we've explored the world, right? Our ancestral explorers were exploring the outer world. But I think at this moment in history, you know, that paradigm has shifted and the new frontier is the internal frontier. So just as these are ancestral explorers needed a proper set of tools to tame and shape the wild physical world, since the journey is now an inward one, we need a contemporary set of tools. And what is a tool? A tool is simply a key that opens and unlocks the doors of challenge. So it's really about creating the life of your dreams, not through force or pushing or effort, but creating these right internal experiences, this right internal environment where you are sort of matching that frequency of the dream that already exists in the quantum field. You know, all possibilities exist in the quantum field. And, you know, it's basically we're connecting into that vision and always connecting into it. And it's like you're summoning it through time and space into the physical reality. And, you know, I've done this time and time again through various different practices, but I've, you know, anybody that knows me is when I'm not in my own way, which I tend to be sometimes, like I'm a pretty good manifester. And it's so really this book is about the power of your focused awareness to create the life of your dreams.
Right.
'Cause your awareness is your energy.
Exactly. So you're giving people tools through these keys in different chapters. Is that what the 13 keys is about? These different tools that help people define ways.
In one way, they're tools, and at the end of chapters, there's exercises and and you know, questions to ponder and stuff like that. But it's really It's sort of a softball title to explain the mechanics of the universe. So it's about how our internal world interacts with the external world to create the reality we live in. And that is your energy. And it's, you know, if you're always living, which we've been programmed to believe, like, you know, the third dimension, our body, materialism, that's the real thing, which is this very small aspect of, you know, the actual reality. So it's really focusing more on energy, possibility, and potential than, you know, what we see in reality.
Right. So right now we are living in this state of consciousness. You'd say that this is something that could be a great tool for people right now at any age that we're in. Like this is for all ages. This book will be for
100%. I mean, it's really about getting still and listening to that inner whisper, which is your calling. And I think the calling is what your soul sort of signed up for before it decided to express human. So I think we all have a purpose and a path that we're supposed to take, but fear, trauma, and limited thinking keep us separate from answering that calling. And, you know, many people sort of take a different path that isn't actually true to their heart or their soul because of their parents or society or, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. But if you're not answering that calling, you experience what I call the soul ache. And the soul ache is that really uncomfortable feeling where it's you're just like, if the soul ache had a voice, it would say, is this all there is? And you have to overcome, I think, three aspects, which are either fear, trauma, or limited thinking, to start moving into the calling. And when you start to do that and you do it through the alignment of, your mind, body, and spirit with right thinking, right language, right feeling, and right action, you know, the universe is an interactive universe. So it starts to respond to your state of being and your will. I say, you know, it's kind of like when you start to go after this thing, you become like the boring machine, and the boring machine is what creates tunnels. So when you start to get into the alignment of your mind, body, and spirit in those other four aspects, matter starts to conform to your will. And this appears as serendipities and synchronicities, things like that. I call them spiritual breadcrumbs.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And what, how do you receive your information when you're writing?
You know, it's funny because somebody just asked me this recently, how you receive information. And I realized that I became aware of the fact that I sort of cock my head to the left. And when somebody asked me, where do you receive this information? I never really thought about it, but I've started to notice it comes in through the right side of my brain, which is the creative side. So the left side of the brain is the linear, logical aspect of the brain that measures time and space and all that stuff. But the creative, the right side of the brain is what, you know, connects us to the field. So when I'm writing, it's almost like I notice I cock my head to the left, like I'm almost listening with my right ear. And when I get myself into that state of trance, which I talk about in the book, and, you know, the trance state comes about through the practice, which could be journaling, it could be meditating, it could be in nature, it could be movement. But when I sort of tap that magical state, it's like I'm just listening to, you know, my higher self, or it's like I'm listening to a lecture, and all I have to do is keep moving my fingers across the page. And I know not to judge it, because it's like the moment you sort of judge it or analyze it, it's like turning the faucet off. You know, of course, it doesn't, sometimes it comes in way bigger and faster than, you know, I can handle. Like when I'm walking in the canyon, I'm just scribbling things down as fast as I can. But when I'm in that state of writing and I sort of mainline that voice, it's just coming through and I'm just moving my fingers across the page and listening to it. Of course, you know, there's the other aspect of writing, which is the craft, which is, you know, the left side of the brain. So when the information comes in, you know, you have this draft, and then of course you sit with it and rewrite it and rewrite it. Writing is rewriting. But yeah, I've noticed it comes through the right side of my brain. I don't know if other people notice where information comes in. Sometimes it's their heart, sometimes it's their solar plexus, but.
Yeah, I love that. That's very cool. Yeah, I get spirit speaking in my left ear. But that's
interesting.
That's very cool. Yeah, I feel like you definitely have that ability. You're very I think you're very psychic or very intuitive when you're, that's what I feel, because I'm psychic. I can tell when people have that intuitive ability. So is there something, I just really want, I have so many questions to ask you, and we already are starting to get some callers, but I do want to, and just tell everybody, we do want you to call in. Please do call in, because Kim does want to take questions tonight. The number is 888-627-6008. But I do want to ask you, because you've worked with some amazing people in your short time, because you're going to be writing forever. I know this, and have such a big career. You're just amazing. You're so talented. What kind of practice can you tell everybody that's listening right now, that's starting to be a writer, starting out with their consciousness and passion? Do you do daily? Like, what is something that you get up and do every day before you start your writing? Because I know that you're a friend of mine, that you are a religious writer, that you, this is your life. This is what you do. You write every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the first thing I do in the morning is I make my coffee, and then I do this little writing exercise, and it's a gratitude intention journal. And I just write down five things. This is sort of actually created the story arc of my first book, A Curious Year. But I just write down five things I'm grateful for and five things I want to create. And you know, when I started this after my mom passed away, which was sort of the impetus to buy a one-way ticket to India to discover my story. And that is what A Curious Year and the Great Vivarium Experiment became. But after my mom passed away, I thought I was ready because she was sick for a long time. And then it was like, when somebody actually passes away, it's like the rug is swept out from under you. And I felt very lost and scared and disoriented. And a friend of my sister's was kind of an energy healer, and she said, okay, you're a writer. I want you to do this exercise every day. Write down five things you're grateful for and five things you want to create. And you're going to find that the things you create today are going to be the things you're grateful for in the future. And I was like, I'll try anything. And, you know, I just started doing this exercise, and it's kind of in the whole book. That story is, that first book is more of a narrative. And the second book is kind of the formalized philosophy that was that's contained in the first book. But so I do the gratitude intention exercise every day. I meditate. To kind of source information, I go up into nature, and before I start my walk, if I have like a creative or communication problem I need solved, like when I was writing this dream tethering book, I didn't know what was next, and I just go for a walk. And before I put my headphones on to lose myself in trance and music, I would ask, you know, out loud or in my heart, like, what do I need to know about this next chapter? What is this next chapter? And 100% of the time, I get the answer, like, usually either very shortly or by the end of however long the hike it is. So it's really just about creating this communication with God or the field, the quantum field, or whatever you want to call it, because we live in a very interactive universe, but we've been sort of trained to focus only on the materialism stuff. But there are endless fields of information that we're moving through all the time. So we just have to kind of like open ourselves up to receive that information.
Right. So you meditate with your walking. You're meditating on your walks, your nature walks, and being out there with your music too.
Yeah. I mean, I would call that a walking meditation, because I'm just trying to go completely blank and, you know, just allow whatever is supposed to come through to come through.
Yeah, the guides are saying to me that you're very, very, aligned with the holy omnipresent energy, and you were born with that gift of writing.
I guess I'm doing what I'm supposed to do then.
So everyone that's listening, we are so blessed to have Tim Shields, a writer, editor, and literary collaborator. Hey, I got it that time. You got it. So we are so excited to have you here tonight. We're going to go to break right now, and we're going to come right back and maybe take some caller questions too and talk more.
Excellent.
Tim Shields. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Meredith, medical intuitive healer and author. My new book is called Awakening to the Fifth Dimension, Discovering the Soul's Path to Healing. This book was channeled through my guides of Christ Light to help you embark on your own journey toward healing through divine miracles. My guides want you to have the information in this book in order to help you heal and improve every aspect of your life, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We achieve this by raising your consciousness into the fifth dimension, where miracles and divine healing happen every day. You'll get nutritional and lifestyle plans and information. All this can be found on my website at thehealingtrilogy.com. The book is being sold everywhere in Kindle, paperback, hardcover, and audiobook. My new book is called Awakening to the Fifth Dimension, Discovering the Soul's Path to Healing. Thank you, and welcome to the Fifth Dimension.
In today's three-dimensional world, it's easy to get physically and emotionally sick. Raising your consciousness is crucial to healing. Kimberly Meredith has channeled a healing meditation CD that helps you to heal by helping you to elevate your consciousness. People have been healed just by listening to this CD, which lifts you away from third dimensional pain, worry, and fear, and into the fifth dimensional higher cosmic consciousness, where you can access healing for body and mind as you surrender to the higher self of love and light. For more information, please visit www.thehealingtrilogy.com and click on store. That's www.thehealingtrilogy.com, or just Google the Healing Trilogy Meditation Healing CD and Google will connect you.
Hi, this is Kimberly Meredith. As a spiritual healer, I'm often asked, Kimberly, can I be healed? The answer is, with God, anything is possible. And yes, you can be healed through the power of God. Your friends and family can be healed. Even animals can be healed. Please visit thehealingtrilogy.com To learn more about my process and my services, my office is located in Sherman Oaks. I offer intuitive medical scans and psychic surgery for you and your loved ones. At the Healing Trilogy, we treat adults, children, and animals. We offer medical scans, mediumship counseling, cold laser acupuncture, cold laser therapy, holistic health, nutritional plans, and many other services. We also have meditation CDs, and I Skype around the world on Fridays. Sign up for my newsletter, and you'll receive a free CD. You'll also be informed about my upcoming healing events. Log on to thehealingtrilogy.com. Bless you.
Welcome back, everybody. We are with Kim Shields, and I just want to shout out Kim Shields' website where you can get his information, his current book, and we are going to talk more about his podcast that he has right now, which is really fun. The Inciting Incident. Hopefully I said that right. TheRealTimShields.com. TheRealTimShields.com is his website, and you can find out all his information there. And we're back on air now, and we're going to take a couple callers. Kim, are you here?
I'm ready.
Okay, great. Okay, we have Evelyn on the line. Evelyn.
Hello.
Hi, Evelyn. How are you?
I'm excited. Thank you for taking the call.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Oh, wow. Great. Do you have a question for Tim and I?
Are you, by any chance, doing health readings? Or
yes.
To connect? Yeah?
Yeah, but it'd be nice if you asked us both a question because he's our guest tonight.
Oh, yeah, great. So, you know, he's a writer and he's very good at it. Besides writing his five things, what other advice do you have for people who want to write their book but lack confidence?
Well,
how do you?
You just have to do it. And writing is a practice, just like lifting weights or doing anything else you're doing. And I always say, like, the number one thing you should do, I'm giving away the gold here, but you just have to sit down in a chair and set a timer. And maybe that's, if you're intimidated by it, maybe that's 30 minutes to start or an hour. But what I always find is, you know, and you have to turn off your internet and text and all that stuff. But what I always find is that you write yourself into flow. And sometimes it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of an effort to start writing. And, you know, if I don't know what to write about, I'll just really, I mean, I've been doing this since I was 17. I would just sit down and I'd start talking about where I am in my life, who I am, how old I am. And then, like, you just kind of find yourself into flow. So setting a timer, and I think okay. Most of the time you'll find that when the timer goes off, you're going to want to keep writing.
That's great. I love that.
I've always thought about that, but I've never done it. So it resonates. It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, writing is such an amazing therapeutic exercise, because it really allows you to get beneath the noise, and you sort of find yourself writing. The more you write, the more you find this place of stillness. And then, amazing things happen out of that. I'll say one other thing is out of, Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way. Mm-hmm. One of the exercises is, if you really want to do it, as soon as you wake up, you just go to your desk and start writing 3 pages and don't stop your pen because you're still in these like altered brainwave states from, sleeping. So you have access to so much more information, and a lot of, you know, Hollywood writers or other type of writers actually use this as their morning exercise because they tap into the stream of information that might not otherwise be available to them at other times of the day. And then they use that as the material for what they're going to write about that afternoon.
I love that. I write mostly in the morning. Go ahead.
Do you think what I find myself often when I write, I feel like it doesn't sound like me. I feel like I sound like not my typical, you know, everyday speech. And I feel like I'm being guided sometimes. Do you think, would this be classified or considered automatic writing then? When just ideas flow and you're like, whoa, where is this coming from?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I would say you're tapping into a stream of information that, you know, is probably from your higher self.
Awesome. I appreciate the advice, and I'm going to start doing it, you know, tomorrow morning.
That's amazing.
Fantastic.
And I have a journal, so.
That's amazing, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's great. Is there anything you wanted to ask us, or thank you for calling in?
Well, I was going to ask about health, but, you know, I'll just listen in.
Okay. Thank you for calling. So we have, that was beautiful to me. I love that. It reminds me of, like, being so inspired. I love her book, The Artist's Way. I read that and I love that book. That's a great book. We have Deidre on the line. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Great. We have Deidre on the line. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm great.
Nice to meet you, Kim. I'm really
pleasure to meet you too.
Thank you. Interesting that you bring up, you know, about this whole concept of, you know, life and how we're kind of a small little part in this big thing called life. And my question is that I definitely entered a whole new chapter in my life right now. I feel that very, very strongly. I'm in my early 60s, and it's just this next chapter. And I've fallen into a new love and new friendships, and I started a new volunteer position with a non-for-profit organization. And I think I was looking to Tim and to Kimberly for your intuitive. It's just that are all of these commitments and time and passion that I'm putting into these efforts, am I on the right life path?
I mean, I would say you just, how do we ever really know if we're on the right life path? I would say when these serendipities and synchronicities start to happen, that's a really good sign.
Which they have.
Yeah. So I would say that is a really good sign that you're on the right path. And you should, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're approaching anything with trepidation or fear, but I would say to other people, you know, you move forward in life in curiosity. When something happens, it's upsetting or it's not our plan, you know, I say this to you as I say it to me, but I try to change my, you know, maybe pain or whatever you want to call it into curiosity. And I started doing this, probably a decade ago. And when something happened, this is actually kind of how I met Kimberly and how I met my previous agent. I had written this letter to, you know, this very prestigious literary, agency, and they totally did not get what I was writing. And I put like 3 or 4 days into it and I was super bummed. And then I just said, okay, show me what's better. So I always tell people to just literally say out loud, all right, show me what's better. And the next night, I wound up on this, it was back during COVID, on this Clubhouse, which is this app. And the guy who was hosting it.
I remember that app.
Yeah. And the guy who was hosting it was like, oh, my friend Tim Shields here. And then Kimberly and I started talking. And she was like, well, can I talk to you offline? And that's how we became friends. She was asking me about Hay House because she was publishing with Hay House and
the Hay House,
and St. Martin's Press. And she was like, you should really talk to my agent. You should really talk to my agent. I was like, oh, I'm waiting for, you know, one of these big ones. And she's like, he's a pretty big guy. And I said, okay, just connect me to him. And I went for a walk up in the canyon. And by the time I came back, this guy had already reached out to me and he's like, can you talk tomorrow? And I was like, okay. And then, you know, within 24 hours, I went from heartbreak to finding the perfect agent. Just because I said, show me what's better.
That's great. Well, and that's kind of what's been happening to me. I mean, all of these people are showing up in my life, these new people and new opportunities. And I also have found that I have shed some friendships. Like some friendships it surprises me a little bit, have kind of gone by the wayside. And I'm trying not to let that get me down or overthink all that and just move forward with the new and what I'm doing and not worry about what all those other people think about me and what I'm doing. Cause I've never taken the straight path ever in my life. I've always been all over the place and I don't have a lot of fear, but I just want to make sure that I'm doing good. I want to give back and I want all these things to be worthy of me and my time.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I can give a little advice if you'd like.
I'd love it.
Okay. So your exact question is if you're moving in the right direction right now, right?
Correct.
Okay. So my guides keep coming in and telling me that there's something about you that you love to do. You're like sort of like they're moving you into sort of being like this teacher of some sort.
Okay.
They want you, I don't know if that's what you're doing right now, but they see you as that, sort of moving into being the next course of your life is more of a spiritual teaching sort of person.
Yeah. I've gotten very much into my religion, my spirituality and listening
so they
to my
want
worship
you,
music. And
they want you moving in that direction right now.
Okay.
So that's what they're moving you to. So if it's in that alignment, then it's going to work for you in that way. They're also telling me, I wasn't quite exactly sure what you were asking, but they were saying they want you to move more into that alignment and also something very creative, feeling very free and very flowing, where you don't feel constricted.
Yeah. And that might be writing as well. I'm not sure.
Exactly. They see very creative flow, very spiritual. So this might start
happening.
What about
the love relationship? Is that worthy? Is that going to be anything special?
Are you in one right now?
I am.
Okay. So what are you asking about that?
Are we going to find our way to a future, a committed future together?
So you're not in a, when you ask me about love, you have to be very straight about it. So are you in a love relationship? What kind of love relationship?
A love relationship that I've been in for a year. We're both widowers and that has a little bit of complications with it, with emotion and everything. So we're working our way through and, we've talked about, you know, maybe taking some next steps. So
if you're asking me if you're going to get married, you can just come out and say it right now on the air.
Okay. Am I going to marry this man?
Well, we're seeing that you're soulmates. You are soulmates. I can't say if you're going to get married, but they are saying you're soulmates.
Okay.
And I'm sure you already knew that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So you are soulmates and they are telling me it's a good relationship. But I don't know, you know, what you're saying about working something through. They are telling me that you are meant to be together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's comforting because I feel.
So congratulations that you met your soulmate.
Thank you, Kimberly. You and I have talked about some of this before, but that's another conversation.
I don't remember because I'm a
transgender.
I don't remember.
Can I add one more
when
thing?
We talked.
Sure.
Can I add to what you were going to say? You know, it sounds like you're kind of moving into resonance and alignment with what you've been wanting to do. And you're seeing serendipities and synchronicities. So you're kind of, for lack of a better word, you're resonating at a higher frequency. So as you're kind of moving up these scales of consciousness, you are meeting different types of people. And then those relationships that don't resonate at that level, they begin to fall by the wayside. So as you become somebody new, sort of the external world sort of has a shakeup and it reorientates to who you are and who you're becoming. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But that makes sense. That does make sense to me too. And I've been reading a little bit about that too. So, it's all good.
Excellent.
It's all good. And that's why I listen to Kimberly, and I love meeting new people that she's got on her programs, because it just enriches, you know, life all that much more.
Yeah, I definitely see you moving into like some sort of really neat community, though. I do see it. I see it very spiritual community.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hope so.
It's really beautiful happening for you, and congratulations on your soulmate.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you
to both of you for listening to the show. Yeah. Thank you for calling in to listening to Tim. And, we're just going to tell everybody again, our show number is 888-627-6008. And I wanted to, thank you so much for calling in. Thank everybody for listening to our show tonight. We love having Tim here with us, and we want to listen to a little bit more about your podcast, Tim. I really want to talk about a little about your podcast and some of the experiences you've had with your guests that you've had on.
Well, I will add that for your audience, on July 17th, you are going to be on my podcast. Well, we've already recorded it. So if you want to know a little bit about, a little more background about Kimberly's story and some of her experiences that have turned her into who she is, you should definitely tune in. You can subscribe at The Real Tim Shields on YouTube and therealtimshields.com. Newsletters, I don't send them out very often, but I put some of the podcasts I've put on there. But the idea for the inciting incident, well, first of all, I'll say, you know, as a literary collaborator or ghostwriter or editor, part of my job is asking people questions to get this information out of them so we can, you know, formulate their story. And ever since I was, you know, a young man, when I became obsessed with an artist or a musician or whoever, you know, we all know the public work, but I wanted to know the human journey behind the public figure. So, you know, every probably public figure or somebody who's, you know, out there in the world, they had some sort of inciting incident that altered their trajectory. I mean, maybe they thought they were going to be a lawyer and then somebody passed away in their life, or, you know, somebody got sick, so they decided to pursue medicine. There's always an inciting incident in people's stories. For instance, mine was like taking a huge dose of mushrooms at 17 and sort of having this profound experience. So, you know, the idea for the podcast was, you know, in between the inciting incident and the public figure is how they dream tethered. So what did they do to follow and pursue their dreams? And, you know, I love having deep conversations, and I have everybody from scientists to musicians, the world record holder for free diving, which was pretty interesting. Wow. It was all about consciousness, was just on last week. I had a Neville Goddard historian 2 weeks ago. Dr. Hemal Patel, who does, and Dr. Tobias Muller Bertram, who do all the research for Dr. Joe Dispenza. They've been on it. I've had actors, and, really it always kind of comes back to transformation and healing, because that's what I'm interested in, because that's, you know, that's what I'm trying to do in my own life. You know, if I had to distill my work into two pillars, it would be surrender and trust, because, you know, that's what I'm trying to master in this life. And that takes, a deep level of faith and belief in yourself. So,
exactly.
And it's very hard, you know, all of our kind of, I call them in the new book, like our core wounds, which are these imprints that happened when we were really young. And maybe it was like a teacher telling you, you can never do this, so you're not smart. And your unformed little mind made this story up about I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough. So, you know, that is, that's one of your core wounds. And I think as you kind of evolve in your consciousness and when you get to the next level, when you're coming up against that fear, trauma, and limited thinking to get to the next level of self-actualization, to get to the next level of consciousness, you always are confronted with these core wounds, which are, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, whatever. And as you evolve, it evolves to meet you in the next context. So it's about mastering your mind and your energy to overcome those triggers. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody gets in a fight with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's like you're fighting with the fourth grader who got totally wounded, but they're unconscious to it. So it's about, I think that like evolving and becoming more conscious, and you have to know all of these limitations and these wounds, because if you can't see them, then you can't liberate yourself from them. But once you can see them and understand how they operate in your life, then you're free to become the next level of who you're supposed to become.
That's really well said. Yes. Yes. Since you've had your podcast out, and where does it air? Is it on YouTube?
It's on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. It's on all the major platforms, yeah.
I was going to ask you not only that about your podcast. I'm super excited. I can't wait till ours comes out. It's going to be fun. Have you had any type of I want to ask you something also about you collaborating on certain books. What book from today was your most interesting experience that you've collaborated on? Can I ask that?
Well, I would say it was with Dr. Joe Dispenza and then also Dr. Zach Bush. With Dispenza, I really, you know, I was his editor for 6 years. So I helped him with his blogs, and then 9 months into helping him with that, he was like, hey, what would you think about helping me edit Becoming Supernatural? And I literally said, watch out, effing fast. I quit my job. And that was when I left the corporate world, and I've been doing this ever since. So, you know, I would say with Joe, I really got sort of deep into the consciousness thing, which also involves, you know, neuroscience and epigenetics and all this stuff. And then with Dr. Zach Bush, that book is still in the work, but I really got deep into the biology aspect of it. So I love learning things, new things, and I love kind of researching and going down rabbit holes and stuff. And this, you know, I never felt fulfilled in the corporate world. I was in marketing and advertising, and every time I got a new job, I was always freelancing. I'm like, maybe this will scratch that creative itch. But this is dream tethering. I stayed focused on this dream of wanting to become a writer. And wanting to, there were like different points in my life. I remember standing on this corner in Seattle looking out over the Olympic Mountains. And I'm like, man, I wish I could just walk around and think about the mysteries of the universe and write about it and get paid to do it. And that's what I get to do now.
Created that reality manifested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in, which is kind of what this whole book is about, is that it's like the mechanics of that manifestation that occur through, like, you know, who we're being on the inside, right, our core wounds, and how we relate to the external world, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So,
and everybody that's listening to Tim right now at home, if you're feeling like stuck or blocked, and understand that it can happen to anybody, because we come in the world sometimes with, not like Tim started at 17 writing, but then he went to a different career and then he ended up over here and over there. And that happened to me even, you know, I was a nurse assistant for years, bagging bodies, putting them in morgues, and, you know, And then I had my NDE, and then I was born a certain way, and then now I'm fully doing what God wanted me to do. So sometimes we just have to go through these little, you know, waves to end up being, I call them frequencies, to who we are.
Yeah, for sure. So, youth is about exploring all those avenues of curiosity, and through that, you know, you start to cut off the things that don't actually work. And if you keep curious and if you stay tethered to that dream, you know, the universe starts to align you to it and finds you doing it in ways that you never could have imagined. I mean, never in a million years could I have imagined kind of working with the people that I've worked with or doing the things I've worked with. But the dream tether, it's that connected energy to that future. It pulled me towards it. So.
But one day someone's going to be saying, I'm working with Tim Shields because you're going to be a dispenser, you know, and that's what happens. You know, we go through these awakenings and frequencies and our state.
I mean, nobody wakes up and becomes a master. You have to be an initiate. You have to do the practice. You have to practice all the time if you want to become a master at anything. So, I mean, I've been writing since I was 17. I think I have 61 journals of my life on paper at this point.
Wow.
And I obviously don't do it because anybody's putting a gun to my head. It's because it's the process by which I explore myself and I answer the question, who am I? And as a writer, I'm answering the question, who am I, on sort of a collective and universal, like, who are we as humans? What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. That brings me to this next question I want to ask you. What would be one truth you would like to share to people about you?
About me or about them or...
I think about you, a deep truth about you and about people, both you and people.
Well, I would say as far as people, you are far more powerful than you realize you are. You just have to open yourself up to connect to this field of energy, which you could call the quantum field, again, God, whatever, source energy, whatever. But, you know, we are, again, we're trained to be like limited small thinkers. As far as myself, you know, I was running along the beach one day in Oregon and my mission statement dropped in. And I all of a sudden started scrambling to write it down, but I translate light frequency and energy into story so as to lead others to their truth. And then my professional mission statement is, I help artists, visionaries, and global change makers articulate and amplify their message through the economy of words. So, you know, I would say for people, you know,
say it one more time slower because it's really powerful. My eyes are blinking fast. Yeah.
Well, my first one is I translate light frequency and energy into story so as to lead others to their truth. And then, the second one, my professional one, is I help artists, visionaries, and global change makers articulate and amplify their message through the economy of words.
Cool.
So I guess one other thing, I don't think I mentioned this when I was, when I was 17 is, you know, I started keeping a journal and I wanted to be a writer so bad. I started, you know, saying the prayer of St. Francis, and I started asking to be used as an instrument of peace. And I wanted to be a writer so bad. I was just asking God or the universe, like, just use me, just speak through me. And again, I never could have imagined that that would be writing with other people. So I don't know. I've had just a very kind of deep connection to the unseen since I was pretty early age.
Yeah, absolutely. You are connecting to the afterlife. And that's why we get along. And I think it's so amazing to just collaborate with other people. It's like my cousin I think he knew was Joanne Kiger, and her friends were Allen Ginsberg. And it's just good to be with others, community to write. But I think it's also very cool that you collaborate with the afterlife, and you do. You have them on the other side working with you.
Well,
and
yeah,
St. Francis is one.
Yeah, I guess I don't necessarily do it consciously, but if I got a little team that I'm crewing with, that's pretty great.
Yeah, you are. Definitely, you do. You do. You are, and you do. Definitely. So tell us a little bit more before we're almost at the end of our show, and I know everybody here is listening to you. Tell us just a few more minutes before we go. When is your book out, and anything coming up for you, and, you know, anything that you've got going on? And we're going to have you back on before. Hopefully we'll have you back on if you want to come back on before the book.
Yeah, I would love that. I don't have a published date yet. I'm in the middle of a massive, massive rewrite of the book.
Okay.
So as you know, when you're playing with the big boys in the publishing world, they have a different idea perhaps sometimes than you do. So I've had to, I mean, pretty much every day for 2+ months, I'm kind of living in Groundhog's Day. I've been rewriting the book, and I've cut it from 85,000 words down to 54,000 words,
Wow. Which
is a significant amount of words. And it also actually kind of changes the story and the narrative a bit. And I really resisted it, and I almost walked away from the book deal. And then I was like, okay, well, people don't know who I am yet, so I haven't really earned the right to tell the story how I want to tell it yet. And I just trusted the process, and something different and perhaps on one level more coherent is emerging. So it has been a labor, but I'm probably just about to start the fifth draft of the rewrite. And it's starting to feel pretty good and pretty coherent. The first draft was just taking a hatchet to it and cutting as much as I could. But I forgot what the other part of your question was.
And that's the raw truth of writing. And that's what happens, you know, and that's what's really cool about when you write authentically and genuinely books, you know, it's about that. Just diving in and leaving the ego behind you know, really doing it and diving in. Tell everybody where they can get your first book.
You can get my first book on Amazon, or you can go to the URL, which is A Curious Year. And if you go there, you can see this beautiful book trailer that was filmed in India. Basically, it's kind of like an Eat, Pray, Love meets Wild from a man's perspective. So I had a decade of sick parents. My dad passed away in the beginning, then my mom towards the end. And I was always visiting sick parents in New Jersey on my vacation. So I was kind of like, all right, this is my time. And I bought a one-way ticket to India. And I was just doing this gratitude and intention exercise. And I was like, all right, I want to be of service. And then the next thing I know, I'm volunteering for a guy who's won the equivalent of two Nobel Prizes in grassroots environmentalism. And he's sort of the grandfather of environmental law in India. I thought I was just going to be like sweeping floors. I said yes to volunteering. I would say to other people, say yes more often than no. But I said yes, not knowing what I was doing. And it turned out this guy wanted somebody to help him write grants. And I was like, well, I've never written a grant, but I'm a writer. All I need to do is look at the structure. And I met this one scientist over there who said this guy that I was working with was the most important lawyer in India since Gandhi. And I just got to hang out with him, you know, on a regular basis. I trailed him for about a month and a half, and he was a really, really beautiful, beautiful soul. I forget what the question was. I was just...
that I just wanted everybody to go pick up that book now before your big book comes out. There's a dream covering.
I I think people really enjoy it. I mean,
I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's a great book.
It tends to find people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of the internal experience of travel, but it's also a spiritual coming of age story.
And I think it could be made into a film one day. So I just wanted to shout that out before we go off air real quick. So everybody, follow Tim Shields at The Real Tim Shields, and he's on Facebook, Instagram, where else, Tim? Shout out
TikTok,
all your
YouTube. I'm not, I have two profiles on Facebook. I'm not that, prolific on that. Let's put it that way, but I would love a follow on TikTok and Instagram and especially YouTube, because that's where, the podcast comes out every week. And I think your audience will really, really dig it because there's some pretty interesting, profound conversations.
So, yes, absolutely. So everybody, if you want to follow Timmy, just go to therealtimshields.com. And Tim, we're going to end our show in a couple seconds here. Just say one last word to everybody at the Medical Intuitive Miracle Show. What would you like to say?
Be the creator, not the victim.
Aw, that's so sweet. Well, we had so much fun having you here on the show today, and we got so much beautiful information. You are a gift, and you're here to help awaken the world, and we're so blessed that you came on the show. So thank you, everybody, tonight for being with us, and God bless all of you. We love you.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, everyone, for listening.